Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 130, part 2. My name is John. And take your baby by the ears and play upon her darkest fears. In the not too distant future, it is Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. Donald Trump has been re-elected President of the United States of America. On November 5th, the Democrat National Committee files lawsuits charging voter fraud, accompanied by allegations in media from pundits and on social media from celebrities. The media continues to advise the use of masks and social distancing, despite the decrease in COVID numbers from recent CDC reports. Hollywood celebrities appear in ads warning that the risk from COVID is far from over. The warnings continue until weekly death numbers drop into the low double digits. Over the next 3 years, Hollywood releases 7 movies featuring an American president character that is vile and corrupt. A political movement throughout big cities in California renews a push for secession from the United States. Right-wing media, especially pundits from Texas, openly mock the movement as un-American. America's imperialist march continues. Trump considers the victory a validation of his first 4 years. He continues his pace of drone strikes in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Somalia. With no transparency on the number of strikes or people killed in the attacks, the American people are unaware of the unintended consequences. Innocent civilians are casualties of the strikes, and surviving family members seek revenge and become radicalized. A new generation of terrorists arises. On the second anniversary of George Floyd's death, marches are held in cities across the nation. In St. Louis, armed members of the Not Fucking Around Coalition march with the crowd. An argument breaks out when a group of drunks wearing MAGA hats and Confederate flag t-shirts hurl insults at the marchers. Police intervene to try to defuse the situation. The arrival of law enforcement to a march opposing the brutality of law enforcement makes things worse. Tempers already flared by racist remarks, a 3-way fight ensues. One of the drunken racists is able to wrestle a gun from an NFAC member and points the gun into the crowd. The NFAC, defending themselves and the marchers, shoot the racist. The police pull their guns, shouting demands for the NFAC to drop their weapons. The NFAC refuse, repeatedly insisting they are not there to fight the police and must be allowed to defend themselves. Incorrectly believing an NFAC member is taking aim at him, a police officer opens fire. A massive gunfight ensues. Most of the members of NFAC are killed. Several police officers are killed or wounded. And 3 of the drunken racists seeking revenge on their fallen comrade are also killed. Unfortunately, several dozen marchers stayed in the area taking video of the initial fight. Many continued to record as the situation escalated and did not get to cover before the shooting began. 6 are killed and 17 are wounded. President Trump openly condemns the racists who started the initial argument, but it is seen as too little too late by leftists. President Trump also questions the police response, which is seen as a betrayal by the right. It doesn't matter. The race wars have begun. Over the next several days, Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioters invade the streets of several metropolitan areas. Anyone wearing pro-America or pro-Trump clothing is beaten. They stop random people and demand allegiance to their cause. If someone refuses, they are beaten. Far-right groups, compromised almost exclusively of white men, mobilize and retaliate, searching out and attacking BLM and Antifa groups. Firearms become involved, and soon both sides are shooting at each other in public areas. Local and state law enforcement is quickly overwhelmed. The American public is appalled at the events in St. Louis, but also vehemently condemns the actions of BLM, Antifa, and the response from far-right factions. The citizens demand a solution. President Trump mobilizes the National Guard and deploys the military to the hardest-hit cities. Using the Patriot Act, Trump orders the arrest of people suspected to be connected to the riots and bringing in for questioning anyone with potential knowledge. Government agencies scour social media and search engine results for anyone involved with or showing sympathy to the rioters and proactively arrest them as potential threats. With little resistance from a fearful public, the operations are considered a success. The Trump administration makes the military presence permanent, and the American State Police is born. Trump calls for loyalty reviews in all government agencies, focusing on finding anyone who is, has been, or sympathizes with Marxist extremism. Thousands of government employees, the vast majority denying allegations, lose their jobs and are blacklisted from employment. Additionally, right-wing media calls for a modern-day House Un-American Activities Committee to question Hollywood entertainers and athletes to see if any support Marxist agendas. The new HUAC convenes. Celebrities, athletes, and others involved in entertainment are called to appear. Those who appear and are viewed as being sympathetic to Marxist ideology are blacklisted. Even those who refuse to appear before the committee find the public boycotting them and their endorsement contracts disappear. The truce after the race wars is tenuous, but America will soon have a much bigger problem to deal with. On Memorial Day 2024, almost simultaneous explosions rock each of the 10 largest cities in America. Terrorists place bombs in at least one major hotel in each city, two in Houston and three each in Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York. The attacks, designed to maximize death tolls with the opening of vacation season, kills tens of thousands. America is stunned at the carnage. Somali terrorists claim responsibility, claiming revenge for the innocents killed in American drone attacks. Government intelligence agencies claim they are being funded by Iran. Left-wing media pundits place the blame on Trump for creating the problem with the drone attacks. They experience a severe backlash from an angry citizenry who say there is no justification for the thousands of lives lost. The vast majority of Americans abandon left-wing journalism, which is now seen as anti-American and unsympathetic to the dead. Within weeks, the military is mobilized for an invasion of Somalia. President Trump authorizes military action, and on July 4th, the Somali war begins. The offensive lasts less than 2 weeks, and the United States establishes a continuing military presence. A new wave of jingoism washes over the United States. With the news that Iran is suspected of funding the Memorial Day attack, media pundits begin talk of a possible invasion of Iran. Certainly with information that Iran is behind it all, America finally has an excuse to invade the country. However, before any invasion could take place, the news breaks that the Iranian government has been overthrown in a coup by its citizens. After the proverbial dust settles, it is learned that a joint operation by the United States and Great Britain has been covertly aiding Iranian citizens for nearly 2 years in tactics designed to mobilize and educate the people. The Iranians then use their government's diverted attention to the Somalia invasion to oust the theocrats. President Trump addresses the nation, claiming victory in Iran and Somalia. To him, the ends justify the means, so drone strikes will continue, even if they may hurt innocents. Additionally, he cautions the nation that Marxist elements still exist within the country to attack Americans at any time, so he will continue the military presence in major cities. President Trump also announces local police forces will be absorbed into the American state police, receive military training, guidelines to de-escalate pressure situations, and military standards on racial and gender equality. The American people, fearful of more attacks internally and externally, cheer the militarization of the police. With overwhelming support from the citizens, state governments ratify the 28th Amendment, repealing the presidential term limits of the 22nd Amendment. In November 2024, Donald Trump is elected to his third term in office. The imperialist states of America begins. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.